This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, is Kirk Cousins ever going to win a big game? And Aaron Rodgers with a sideline argument and his new head coach. What does that mean for the 2-0 Packers? Plus, next hour, 1 hour from now, former Pro Bowl wide receiver Braylon Edwards will join us in studio to talk about NFL week number two. As you heard Andrew Bogish mention in the headlines, Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers will decide today more than likely on whether his elbow needs surgery. Apparently, he wants to avoid surgery at all costs because that would obviously keep him out for a good long time. Earlier this morning, Boomer Esiason conjectured that maybe he might need Tommy John surgery on that elbow. His elbow was apparently inflamed going into week number two and then got really bad to the point where he had obviously leave during yesterday's loss to the Seahawks. He's going to get an MRI today. And they'll decide, apparently, how severe it is and what tack to take. Now, Roethlisberger has bandied about the idea of retiring in the past. And one would think that if it was as serious as having Tommy John surgery, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is 37 years old. He would be 38 for next year. Obviously, Tommy John would take you out all of this season. And then you would hope to be back about a calendar year from the date, although we don't see that often in football. I'm talking about a baseball timeline. I don't know about a football timeline. But let's just use that general timeline, about a year, that he's back for the start of next year with elbow surgery at 38 years old. I don't know if Ben Roethlisberger wants that. Roethlisberger's in the Hall of Fame. He has two Super Bowl titles. He's one of the greats in Steelers lore. He'll always be beloved in Pittsburgh. I don't know. He's talked about retirement before. Does he want to go through a full year of rehab at 37, a comeback at 38? Maybe that's why he wants to avoid surgery at all costs. Because sitting out for 6 weeks and letting it heal without surgery is better than trying to come back after a year, even if it might be a little stronger. But for the Steelers, look, the walls are closing in. Week one was a disaster because you weren't even competitive in Foxborough. Not even close to competitive. Once again, Tomlin had circles coached around him by Belichick. Roethlisberger, once again in Foxborough, couldn't figure anything out. The Steelers kind of routinely play really poorly against the Pats, and they were not even competitive. So week number two happens in it's not a must-win game, but it's a pretty damn important game with the Seahawks coming into town. And not only do you lose, but you also lose any confidence that Ben Roethlisberger is 100% healthy.
Russell takes the snap, looks far side, throw downfield. He's got Metcalf! He's got it! Touchdown, Seahawks! DK Metcalf one-on-one down the far sidelines. Good luck! Perfect pass by Russell Wilson, a 28-yard strike. That's number 201 touchdowns for Russell Wilson.
We didn't change the offense for him. Mason's capable, man. He's been a part of this thing. He's the backup quarterback. We're capable of functioning in a very normal manner when he's in there, and we did.
Of course, that's Mike Tomlin after the game, and that was Seahawks radio. Mason Rudolph was serviceable yesterday. I do think it calls into question the judgment of trading away Josh Dobbs before this game, because Dobbs gets traded for a sixth rounder, and I know that Dobbs isn't Ben Roethlisberger, but if you kind of knew that Roethlisberger's elbow was not exactly great and you have a guy in the system on the sideline in Dobbs, do you really trade him away for a sixth rounder to the Jaguars once Foles went down? I mean, last week, apparently, they knew that his elbow was inflamed. Now, maybe they didn't think that this was going to happen, but again, you've got to have some real trust in Mason Rudolph right now. No AB, no Le'Veon Bell, I think, would have been survivable if Roethlisberger was at an all-world level, which he has been in the past. It is not survivable if Mason Rudolph is your quarterback. And Tomlin has taken his fair share of criticism over the years. I think some of it understandably so, some of it not understandably so. I think people in Pittsburgh, and I've got a real admiration and appreciation for the fans of Pittsburgh. I really love it as a city. I've got family in Western PA, diehard, generational Steelers fans that go back from the 60s, so even before the Steel Curtain and the dynasty of the 70s. I know what that is like. I've been to Steelers games with my family out there. But I think some of the hate about Mike Tomlin simply was that he was not Bill Cowher, and that everybody kind of fancied themselves in Pittsburgh as the Bill Cowher, chin out, spittle flying everywhere, hard nose, grind out, blue collar, yell at the guys, fire them up, emotional, hard on your sleeve. And I think just simply because Tomlin wasn't that guy, he hasn't necessarily gotten a fair shake from everybody except management. He's gotten a totally fair shake from management. But boy, now we find out what Mike Tomlin is as a head coach. Because if he's without Ben, AB, and Le'Veon Bell, you know, if this thing has the potential to really crater. This thing has the potential to get really, really ugly and season over by Halloween, maybe even before. If Tomlin can figure out a way to gut out, grind out a couple of wins, and they were close yesterday, they were close, then we'll see if the frustration over Tomlin not getting enough out of his team was misplaced. Because that's always been the thing, that they've underachieved under Tomlin. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Then again, as I mentioned before, I watched Tom Brady come out of the postgame podium yesterday. And honestly, he is aging in reverse. He looks young. His skin looks taut. He's got no gray hair, no wrinkles, no creases under his eyes, no nothing. So I don't know how that happens at 42 years old, unless my theory is there's HGH getting pumped around, you know, with these aging quarterbacks. I mean, and James Harrison plays until he's like 95 years old. I mean, I don't know. Ray Lewis comes back with deer antler spray with his elbow. Looks like RoboCop. He's out there with like one cyborg arm playing in a Super Bowl. That maybe Roethlisberger, uh-oh, surgery. Uh-oh, he's out for the season. Uh-oh, will he retire? Oh, he'll be back in week number four. You know, like that doesn't shock me as a potential either with Roethlisberger's history and today's NFL. Adrian Peterson tore his ACL the next season. He ran for 2,000 yards. That's not usually how the rehab from a torn ACL used to go. The Silver Fox tweets, DA, there will be a terrible price to pay, I am sure, for the Patriots. But for now, Pats fans content themselves by complaining about missed extra points by Gostkowski in a blowout victory. LOL. Yes, this is where the frustration of Pats fans are right now over
it. How could it
missed extra point. Rob tweets, I'm a Pats fan that actually has come to appreciate your passionate, if somewhat deranged and misguided rants against the Pats. Belichick, Brady, the AFC East, all of it. I remember the years of irrelevance. The fact that you guys get so riled up feels like a win. Got to tell you, Rob, we can't wait until your irrelevance either. It's going to be a delightful existence for the rest of us in the NFL. Somebody beat the Patriots! Dan tweets, is it wrong to hope that Tom Brady gets mono from kissing Bob Kraft? Hashtag little wet, little drippy.
Pardon me, my fault. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Couple of fans also reminding me that I have said that Drew Brees has injured his thumb hitting it on Aaron Donald's helmet. That's not true. Actually hit Aaron Donald's hand as his big old paw was up there trying to block Drew Brees' pass. I want to take this moment to give some props to UCF Knights football. Do you believe what they just did to Stanford? And I know that this is not a top 25 Stanford. I realize this Stanford isn't what Stanford may have been in recent years, where they're a top 15 team, but they're still well coached under David Shaw. They had their starting quarterback back in KJ Costello, who had missed last week. Stanford's still a good Power 5 program, and UCF dismantled them.
Now that's outrageous.
Can we just take a moment, because everything's going to be all NFL today, and understandably so, but this is a moment to recognize something that happened on Saturday that is incredible. Central Florida, UCF, is arguably the best team in the state. UCF is way better than Florida State, is better than Miami, and might be better than Florida. UCF took a Pac-12 team and took it behind the woodshed on Saturday with a freshman quarterback. Brandon Wimbush transfers in from Notre Dame. People say, wow, Wimbush is the guy. UCF now is a Notre Dame caliber quarterback. This is big. Wimbush doesn't even make it to week number 3 before UCF says, I think we got something better. They start freshman Dylan Gabriel. Did you watch Gabriel on Saturday? 347 and 4 touchdowns and just threw darts across the entire field. UCF led at the half 38-7. UCF led Stanford 38-7. End up winning 45-27, and that's only because there was garbage time touchdowns by Stanford. That's a decent Cardinal team that is always well coached, usually has a very good defense, from a Power 5 conference, and they went to UCF and got smoked. And the problem is UCF's going to play Pitt next week and dismantle the Panthers as well, and they're still going to have no shot of the college football playoff. And that's the sin. Because UCF is not going to make their way into the top 4. Unfortunately, that's just the reality. UCF ain't going to get there. And that's the problem with college football. That UCF won't have a real chance to crash the party. They won't play enough teams. If Stanford just went there and got clobbered, and Pitt is going to get clobbered next week more than likely, why would any Power 5 team play them? You don't have to play them. Just say no. UCF will never really, truly get it. I mean, the fact that they got Stanford on their own home turf is a miracle into itself in scheduling. Good for Stanford for signing up for that. Oh, those nights. Oh, those nights.
Oh, okay.
You better recognize. Put it on Stanford. Freshman, quarterback, weapons. Pfft, doesn't matter. They just keep reloading, and they got some momentum recruiting as well. So when we return back to the NFL, here's Kirk Cousins. Here he is in a big game. Here he is in a tight game. And here is Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
Gagging all over himself yet again. We shall discuss coming up here next. Will he ever win a big game? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Cousins. One in Thielen. Throws a Hail Mary. Kevin King, did he come up with it?
You've been running the ball all the way down the field. There's no reason.
Very disappointed in my performance today.
You know, it just wasn't good enough at the quarterback position to expect to win, and yet I felt like with the way our team fought, you know, we were right there at the end as a result of the way our team kept playing, and you know, it was just frustrating game. Walking away, I just didn't feel like I did my part.
Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings lose in Green Bay yesterday, and the Packers are 2-0. Sunday to the NFL on CBS doubleheader. First, Mahomes and the Chiefs open up their 2019 home schedule against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Then Breeze and the Saints head to Seattle for a late afternoon showdown with the Seahawks. A full day of football starts with JB and the guys on the NFL Today, only on CBS. And Bilotti, I'd like you to know this. Last week, as the Diaper D aliens were in, Mraz did not alert them that we always play the CBS Vintage Sports Spectacular drop after the CBS read.
It was purposely done.
Exactly. He purposefully did not tell them about it. And so when I did the read, it was just kind of hanging there. And I had mentioned this on the air, and of course, Mraz tried to deny any responsibility, etc. He said, oh, we wouldn't know where that drop is anyway. Pete hides it somewhere in the audio folder.
He does.
And I want you to know, Pete, that multiple D-Aliens tweeted in that they love the drop, that they think the drop is great, and that they love when we play it. So just so you know, our listeners appreciate what you and I are doing that Mraz does not have the radio sensibilities to respect.
Most of our audience actually did not tweet you that they liked it. It was like four people that tweeted you did like it. So wouldn't that ratio tell you to cut it?
Well, we didn't. No, we didn't have 94 people tweet in and say, I don't like it. I'm glad you didn't play it.
Because there's no need to, because they know the producer is telling them it stinks and it's speaking for them. This is like when people leave a Yelp review. You only hear from the negative people.
Well, in this case, we heard from the positive people.
It's an inverse. Correct.
That doesn't make any sense. None whatsoever.
Are you surprised?
No. By the way, the DA show is available on YouTube as well. Watch the best of videos every single day. We post them on YouTube. Search if you want to watch the best of clips of the DA show. Simply search the DA show on YouTube. Here's my read on Kirk Cousins. He's a really nice guy. I would want him doing my taxes. I would want him working on my mortgage. I would want him watering my plants when I was away. I would want him as a neighbor. In fact, if and when the Bourbon Bell and I buy a house, I will request Kirk Cousins move in next door.
Kirk Cousins.
I want him available for when we run out of milk. I know he would bring me a can of jam. I know if I needed him to feed the pets, water the plants, get my mail. Kirk would be awesome at that. He would be freaking awesome. Kirk Cousins is like the best neighbor ever. He's like Ned Flanders on steroids. Unfortunately, this is also how he plays football. I diddly know, Packers. Because Cousins has this impeccable ability to be at his worst when it matters most. And Cousins is just never going to do it. He's never going to do it. You know, and in some ways, I feel bad about saying this because he is clearly a really nice guy. I'm sure he drinks milk at dinner. I'm sure he never leaves the trash out too long so that it stinks up the yard. I'm sure that he tips every Uber driver and cab driver and equipment manager ever. I just think that Kirk Cousins does probably everything right in his life, except he's like a three-legged dog. You just are like, aw, he's trying again to run down the street. Like, this is a big game in the division. Come back. Here we come. He's on the doorstep. And, of course, there's going to be a problem. Of course he's going to make a mistake. It just is clockwork. You're like, aw, Kirk Cousins really thinks he's going to win this game, doesn't he? Aw, it's so cute. Aw, Kirk is really trying. He's really trying. You got to pat him on the head for trying. It's cute. I mean, Cousins again yesterday. And He has the throw to Stephon Diggs, which is a thing of beauty. His rainbow to Stephon Diggs, woo, over top, behind the defense, right in the breadbasket. Of course, Stephon Diggs, an idiot, takes off his helmet. 15-yard penalty, you dope. But you're like, oh, that's where Cousins could be. And then the rest of his game is just so, it's so just blah. It's so average. It is so a glass of milk. I mean, Kirk Cousins' quarterback play is exactly like his beverage of choice. It is just bland, warm milk.
Heidely ho, neighborinos.
And that's Cousins. That is Kurt Cousins coming into the locker room at halftime of a game where you have to win on the road in the division. Hi, diddly-do, teammates.
Heidely ho, neighborinos.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to go out there and play good football in the second half. And I'm here to lead you to the promised land.
Heidely ho, neighborinos.
You can only imagine on Mondays, even after terrible losses, he sees his head coach, Mike Zimmer. Hi, diddly-do, Zimmerino. How we doing?
Heidely ho, neighborinos.
I'll be better this week, I promise, Zimmerino.
Kurt Cousins.
Dalvin Cook has 154 yards yesterday. Dalvin Cook was a video game. You could not bring him down. He had a 75-yard touchdown run. And Cousins, when it mattered, of course, throws the worst INT ever. Of course. Because of course. Because of course. And, I mean, you just know how this ends. That the Vikings are probably 9-7 this year, maybe even 10-6. They're a wild card team, maybe even win the division. And they definitely lose their first playoff game because Kirk Cousins, El Stinkos. And next year, the final year of this contract, they bring back Cousins. All of the pressure is on him. And they definitely go 8-8. And it's like that was the Kirk Cousins era. Those 3 years where we thought we had a Super Bowl team, we thought he was the final piece as the quarterback that we've needed for a really long time, and he's good, but just never good enough. I mean, yesterday was, Mraz, wasn't that just Cousins in the perfect nutshell? Like, they'll be in all of these games because they've got a great defense, and they're disciplined usually.
Dalvin Cook's a good running back.
The way that they looked in game number one is kind of like their peak, which of course was the game that Cousins didn't throw a pass basically in the second half. So they have a really good foundation, really good franchise, really good team around them, good defense, good running back. And they are just going to hit their head on this ceiling every single time because Cousins can't get them over the hump.
It's not even about Kirk. I'm forgetting. Is it Kurt? Is it Kirk?
Kirk.
It's
Cousins.
Forget what Hurricane Jen is saying. It's Kirk.
Kirk.
It's not like Kurt Vonnegut.
Kirk Cousins will.
He doesn't know who Kurt Vonnegut is.
Sorry, Kurt Loader.
There you go.
Don't know who that is either. Okay. Kirk. What are we talking
Kurt
about?
Kurt Warner.
You're right. Kurt Warner. Right. Kirk Cousins, not only is he not good enough to win you the game, he will more often than times throw you out of the game. And that is his biggest problem. You could have Steph, but he doesn't suck all the way, and that's what really ruins it.
No, that throw to Diggs is incredible.
Right. The Diggs throws, the Thielen throws, what he did in Washington with Jamison Crowder and company, like that is why Kirk Cousins is an enigma and why he gets paid. Because if he's going to suck and throw you out of the game late, you'd rather him just suck all the way through like Nate Peterman, and you just know you need to move on. But he's just good enough to convince a contender like the Vikings to sign him when he don't have a quarterback, and he's just bad enough to make them actually worse than they were with Case Keenum as far as setting themselves up as a Super Bowl contender. He's the ultimate fraud. Kirk Cousins is a fraud.
I don't think he's a fraud. I think he's a tease.
Well, isn't a tease a fraud?
No, because a fraud would suggest that he plays off something that he's not. I don't think he plays off as a winning quarterback. He's a tease because he's good enough to make you think he could get better.
I don't know. You take a girl to the movies and Applebee's four times and you don't get a kiss out of it. I think she's a tease and a fraud. I think Kirk Cousins is the same guy.
But Cousins wants to give you the smooch. He wants to kiss. He just doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah, he misses you.
But so does the girl you take it. She wants to give you the kiss and she realizes, you know what, you're fat, bald, and you're in the friend zone. The Vikings are in the friend zone.
They are definite friend zone franchise. Yes. Here was the stats for Kirk Cousins coming into the season. Record on the road, 12-23. Record versus winning teams last season, 0-5. Record versus winning teams all time, 4-24. Record in primetime games, 5-13. Record on Monday night, 0-7. Every part of that is such a tease because, you know, he can win you 8 games. You definitely will win 8 games with Kirk Cousins. He's not going to be a total dumpster fire. But getting to 12, you can't do it. As Mraz just said, you're stuck in the friend zone. Great neighbor, bad quarterback.
He'll bring you a can of jam, but he won't win you a game.
No. Not a big game. Happened again yesterday.
Big can of jam, though.
Big can. I mean, and like a really well-thought-out can of jam.
Grape.
Well, who knows? He would definitely be like, well, I know that Mraz's wife said that she likes strawberry rhubarb. I'm going to get her strawberry jam, and it's going to be an extra large can, and it's going to be from some farm-to-table or organic grocery or something. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to be really thoughtful and high quality. He's going to be doing a really good job by you. But he's not going to be able to win a big game.
Or he knocks on the door, drops the can of jam, it splatters everywhere over my stoop, and now I got to get the power washer out, and I don't eat it.
That's in play.
Heidely-ho, neighborinos.
That's absolutely in play. So when we come back here on the show, the best audio of the day, Bill Belichick on Antonio Brown, Jerry Jones on whether they misused Dak Prescott yesterday, and Aaron Rodgers on his sideline tiff with his head coach. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Todd. Hey, have you ever seen a baby named Todd in the last 30 years, by the way? What an ugly baby that must look like. Hey, look at little Todd here. You want to hold Todd? You want to milk Todd? I mean, what are we doing here?
You want to milk Todd?
I think Todd milks.
No. No, none of that is right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You should just have a t-shirt that says, I think Todd milks.
You want a piece of my jewel?
41 minutes past the hour. Here. Oh, I think Todd milks. 41 minutes past the hour. The Da Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We appreciate you being with us on a fine Monday. And you could always watch the show. Reminder that the DA Show is not just audio, it's video too. Hit us up. WatchDA.com. It's free on any device that is available on your phone, on your tablet, on your PC, your laptop, even your smart TV. WatchDA.com. Doing more. Brought to you by the Home Depot Next Generation Home Improvement. With everything that you need to do Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. How about Lamar Jackson? The Ravens QB shines again after his thorough destruction of the Dolphins in week number one yesterday. Throws 24 passes, or completes 24 of 37 passes, 272, 2 touchdowns, but also runs 16 times for a $120. Remember, he barely ran at all against Miami. And the Ravens hold on to beat the Cardinals 23-17. Ravens are now 2-0. Lamar Jackson, 7 touchdown passes. And he threw 6 total last season. So he's got more passing touchdowns already in 2 games than they had all of last season when the Ravens ended up making the playoffs. Cool to see Lamar Jackson do this, because there has been very significant doubts about whether Lamar Jackson's game translates and that he is kind of a gadget gizmo quarterback, and that this was just a fad and that the Ravens were not going to be able to win long-term with him, and certainly it's not long-term yet. But he's been great in the first 2 games of the season, and by all accounts, he's highly coachable, highly motivated, good leader, and he's a really incredible talent. So I think that that's really cool. Well, the one thing about the Cardinals, I am so torn about how I feel about Kyler Murray. I, as you probably know, if you listen to the show long enough, I appreciate those that break convention. I mean, this show is not conventional. I never wanted to be a conventional sports talk host. I never wanted to be a conventional sports broadcaster. I wanted something unique. I wanted to build something that you knew you couldn't get anywhere else. And I think that we've done that around here. I hope that we've done that. And I always buck against the, oh, you can only do it a certain way. This is the way it's always been done, so we got to do it a certain way. I mean, that's how you push evolution within this society in a million different ways. It is, okay, it's never been done this way before, but it takes somebody who has done things or will do things differently to show other people it can be done. And so Kyler Murray falls into this. I mean, Murray looks nothing like any quarterback that's ever been out there in NFL history, maybe aside from Doug Flutie. But he doesn't even really look like Doug Flutie either, but that's kind of the closest comparison. And Murray at times has this incredibly quick release and obviously has those little water bug legs. Beep, 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 beep. And Murray, I think, has an attitude about him like, yeah, we're going to go win. I'm going to go do this. It does not seem like anything's too big for him. He comes over to the sideline, we do this, this, and this, and this, and it just feels like he's ready for the challenge. And yet, I don't know if anybody else feels this way. When you watch Kyler Murray just take a random 2nd and 10 in the second quarter and you just see the vision on your screen, it is jarring how tiny he is at quarterback. I mean, it looks like Darren Sproles is playing QB. And you're like, well, that can't work. He is so small. And in college, it's not quite as alarming because the players aren't quite as big. And yesterday was interesting because it was these kind of two gadget college football quarterbacks that end up in the NFL. And can it work? And I like the idea of breaking convention and busting open what has been done for 100 years. But I watch Kyler Murray and go, that just can't really end up working, right? I mean, that guy looks like he would be small. He would be a small player in high school. And he is now in the NFL, and you've got like Aaron Donald bearing down on him, and you've got these giant defensive linemen, and yesterday for the Ravens, I mean, you just go like, this can't work, can it? And when it does, it's like, whoa, maybe it can. And then when it doesn't, you're like, oh yeah, right, it totally can't. I don't know, Mraz. I can't help but be totally distracted, I think, when I watch Cardinals games about how tiny he looks.
He is, but to me, when I see him run around the field, it reminds me of Russell Wilson. He does.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little Russell Wilson.
He does, and I think it reminds me a lot of Russell Wilson in his rookie year, just they had a way better defense in Seattle and Arizona. When I watch Kyler Murray play, that's really not crossing my mind. I hate to poo-poo your thoughts on it, but...
No, that's fine.
I look at Kyler Murray, and I'm kind of a believer. And yesterday, I thought...
Well, I'm not saying I'm not a believer. It's just distracting how tiny he is.
Sure. I just don't see... I look at a guy, and I think because Russell Wilson kind of broke that mold as a guy who's going to use his feet, extend plays, and make plays, and I do have to say from a standpoint of yesterday, that was a big spread. I think that spread was something like 13.5 points.
Yeah, it was.
People were assuming that Arizona was going to travel to the East to get blown out. And they kept Baltimore, for the most part, in check, even with Lamar Jackson running for 120 yards.
Now, the Cardinals' offense, though, early in both of these games has been really bad.
Sure.
The first halves, both weeks, they've been able to do nothing.
Sure, but again, this is a rookie quarterback that is going to learn on the fly. And like you said, because he's shorter and you know playing behind offensive and defensive lines that are enormous and seeing the field, there is going to be an adjustment period. But I think for the most part, in two straight games, you saw the first week with the comeback against the Lions that led to that, and being very much in that game the fourth quarter, I think Kyler Murray has held his own, and I have seen more good than bad to make me think that he's going to be a sustainable NFL quarterback.
He has held his own. He has held his own, but it is really distracting how tiny he is on the football field against other NFL players. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, DA, I will see your Matt Ryan and raise you a Kirk Cousins. Cousins' throw into double coverage with a chance to take the lead against Green Bay was not the decision of an elite quarterback. My God, you're preaching to the choir there. We just talked about this. I mean, geez, it never ends with Kirk Cousins. Never. Every time he is ready to be in a spot, he's in a spot where he can take that next step, he just totally gags it every single time. Every time. DA, I have a bad finger injury as well. Signed, Mraz. I smashed my finger trying to get the DA sign.
The door just totally smashed my finger as I went to get the DA sign.
That was a tweet about Drew Brees now having to, I guess, have surgery on the thumb. Could keep him out 6 weeks. Really brutal blow. I mean, I'm glad it's only six. It'd be way worse if this was the season. Maybe you can survive six with Teddy Bridgewater. But losing Brees this early on that team with those expectations, this is going to be a really difficult next 6 weeks. I mean, truly. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Bill Belichick, after a whitewashing yesterday of the Miami Dolphins, asked whether he's going to change the offense with AB now in play.
No, we run the offense. Try to throw the ball to guys open, Ben. I haven't changed that in 20 years.
Try to throw the ball to the guy that's open. The Patriots are our greatest criminals, and they continue to bankrupt. They helped manipulate Antonio Brown out of Oakland. They helped encourage him to blast his way out of town. They let him know he would have a safe landing spot if he did. And then they play him in week number two, immediately indoctrinate him into the offense, get him throws, four catches, 56 yards and a touchdown, and then don't allow him to speak to the media and make it seem like he didn't even play. Oh, well, his name's not on the locker. I mean, I guess he didn't even play. I guess you guys don't know what you're talking about. They are truly maniacal, evil geniuses. Aaron Rodgers gets into a sideline tiff with his head coach, Matt LaFleur, yesterday.
It actually wasn't a big deal. He's just, you know, as am I. We're, you know, a little animated at times, but I can't say it was, you know, we were yelling how much we love each other, but we definitely weren't MFing each other or anything. It was talking about the look there and, you know, get on the same page.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Look, the Packers are picking up wins despite not playing great football. I mean, yesterday, building the 21-point lead, they were playing great. But week number one, the offense was not good at all. Yesterday in the second half, the offense once again couldn't get on track, and they're 2-0. We knew Rodgers and LaFleur would be a week of work in progress. We knew it would be week to week with them. And the fact that they're 2-0 and they're trying to kind of work in real time yesterday, I don't like the fact that the offense seemed to totally disintegrate in the second half and that very clearly the Vikings defense made adjustments and the Packers offense did not. But where you stand right now as a Packer fan, 2-0, and you have beaten the Bears and the Vikings 2-0 in that division, you're loving what you're living right now. Loving it. No matter if there's a LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers tiff or not. And finally, Jerry Jones, as the Cowboys were trying to kill time late in the fourth quarter yesterday, trying to drag out a win, questioning his coach's use of Dak Prescott, the quarterback.
I'd like for our end-of-game strategy would not make our quarterback have to run with the ball and potentially risk the kind of injury he did on that last play when he got hit.
Uh-oh. We've got a 2-0 Cowboys team that has been really impressive in both of these victories, coming off a 10-point win on the road that wasn't even as close as that score would indicate. And the owner is calling out the coaches. Ah, see, that's the best part about Jerry. Why you can't have nice things. That even when things are really good, there's a reason to stir the pot. There's a reason to discuss and cause controversy. Because now, what do you have all week? All week, you can have Jerry's unhappy with Jason Garrett. Jerry thinks that the Cowboys can be even better than they actually are. And for Jason Garrett, there's going to be no excuses this year. This Cowboys team is supposedly incredibly talented at every position. Ownership has paid up all this money because they believe in the roster. Well, now you got to go win. You got to get to a Super Bowl. Got to win playoff games, multiple. But Jerry can't help himself. Oh. Just when you thought everything was going swimmingly in Dallas, here we are questioning the coach's use of the quarterback in the fourth quarter. And that is your sound check. Jason tweets, I will admit, week one, I thought Kyler Murray was way too small, but yesterday in Baltimore, he seemed taller with a gift that says, my mind is playing tricks on me. Adriana tweets, I can immediately tell Pete the Body is back. Drops are on point. You want a piece of my jewel? Hashtag best in the biz.
I'm a jewel guy.
CBS Sports Spectacular. Yeah! When we come back here on the show, Braylon Edwards, former NFL Pro Bowl wide receiver, will join us. We'll talk about Antonio Brown's debut with the New England Patriots. And what to make of the Jets coming up tonight without Sam Darnold, who's out with mono. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.